Well, let's turn somewhere in this little notebook here. Any meeting. Before we do that, I do have something I need to take care of, if that's all right. We have some family in town. Yes, they're related to me, whether they want to admit it or not. And they're going to miss my wife's birthday tomorrow, so I went ahead and spent the afternoon baking and made some little cakes. So I need some children to help me, three volunteers to help me. Quickly, three young men maybe. Isaiah, you come. Besides, who else help me? You go hand out these homemade cakes here. Now, there's a lot of people that eat keto. Make sure they don't get one. Every day, if you don't have one, Chelsea can't have one. Stephanie can't have one. You make sure all you can have one. What, you eat keto?
What?
You eat keto?
I don't know what keto
is. Make sure all the children get one of these. Make sure all the young people especially get one of these. And as they get one, you get some of the old people. Anyway, so I don't want to embarrass or humiliate my wife in any way, shape, or form. But it is her birthday tomorrow, and so I thought we'd just go ahead. Then I don't eat these in church, okay? You'll get one. It's my wife's birthday cake. So you usually eat keto?
No, not really.
Good, I just have one now. I'm going to have it here.
Little girl. I shouldn't eat keto on a regular diet, so I just quit keto. Josiah, shut that door, son. Shut that door. Twinkies.
Not just any Twinkies, clearance 4th of July Twinkies from Food Lion. These aren't regular Twinkies. Yeah, these are the clearance Twinkies. We got extras. Well, here, you all were good helpers. How many extras you got in there? Here, no one's just going to eat these. Make sure you eat all of them tonight, okay? Get more back.
About the time you're hoping the Lord tells Sam Ann what's going on, big baby passes out Twinkies.
Since we're going to do that, I tell you, let's just go ahead and sing Happy Birthday. But Miss Rebecca, you come on up here at front like everybody else does. Come on. It's what we do around here.
That's right.
If we had some pens, if we only had some pens, we would pin some money on you, but we ain't got no pens. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Yes, ma'am. What are you doing up here?
The perfect will of God.
Oh, y'all got some money? Oh, okay. Miss Rebecca, come on. They want to give you some money.
Woo! Boy, it's
going
to get good.
We're going to
get the
Lord. We didn't miss out. Amen. Perfect will of God.
Come on, Miss Rebecca. Come on. Look, this calls in a scene. Come on. If anybody's got any Monopoly money, that'd be fine.
Put that in the bottoms. Let me know where it came from.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you better take it off right now. You should go ahead and take it off right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you.
Somebody hey, those Twinkies were 5 1/4, so you just take that out of that appreciation. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 25. Now, some of you obviously missed it, but we didn't even have a birthday or a reason. But in New York, of all months, in February, We had an ice cream party. Mm-hmm. And you remember that in February? Yeah. We had half pints and Twix bars, and all ice cream Twix bars and Snicker bars in February. And every beat their heart, Taryn had probably five. I was over the Hayden League with a couple, amen. I caught him on that. And we just wanted to be a blessing to folks, so we went to Walgreens, ice cream was 90% off. I said, well, God's in this, amen. And so I saw Twinkies on clearance. I said, well, you know, we found the perfect will of God today, amen. And the people, you may not agree with that, that's all right. If you don't like that, you can give your Twinkie back. First Chronicles 25, and we read a couple of verses. We talked about this in Black Creek on one of those days. And I want to just dig into this just a little bit with the Lord's help. In verse 1, it says, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated through the service of the sons of Asaph and of Henan and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy. Now notice that word there, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was of the sons of Asaph, Zachar, and Joseph, and Nethaniah, and Asaph. The sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, was prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, and Zerai, and Jeshiah, Hashabiah, and Mattathiah, six, under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Now I want you to notice that each one of these verses speaks of very particular men. We're going to look at one of them. But he also spake of the musical instruments that they used. And then he also spake of what they did. They prophesied. As they sang, they prophesied. Now it's interesting because as we go further into this just a little bit, we'll notice that these same men pop up often in that, but one man prophesied with a harp. Now how do we reckon he did that? Let's just use our brains for just a minute. Can we say that he probably did that out loud with his voice and used a harp and sang? But I mean, could we assume, or maybe somebody sang along with him, maybe the congregation sang. But these songs were to be sung. Some of them are prayers, and yet they were to be sung. They were to be, I don't like the word chanted, but I don't know what other word to use because I'm ignorant, but they would be sung in different ways and different manners. But in this manner, they would use the harp, they'd use the psaltery, they'd use the cymbals. Now, let me just rest assured this, it wasn't a set of cymbals with different pitches, and some guy wasn't back there with sticks, you know, rocking his long hair, banging the cymbals. That wasn't the manner of worship. No, these would have been cymbals that would have been tuned, they would have been pleasant to hear, unlike that trash, and they would have been godly, because the men of God used them to prophesy. Now, it goes on in 2 Corinthians. We're going to bounce back and forth here, just the order in which I did things. In 2 Corinthians 29, and I'm going to start in verse 30. Then Hezekiah answered, I'm starting verse 30 actually this time. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 30. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David, and of Asaph the seer. Now, prophets in times before were called seers. We know Nathan was a seer. There's others that were seers. And Asaph was a seer. He could see things that God had shown him. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. So now the king has commanded them to use this manner of worship. And they're singing, and he said on this wise, the words of David and Asaph the seer. So those men that prophesied, those men that gave us the Psalms, David was the great psalmist of the sweet psalmist of Israel. And they gave us those songs, and they gave them in a manner of such that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Let me just say, that's the difference between music today and the Psalms. There's a lot of people today just speaking out of the abundance of their own heart, or they give a song out of the abundance of their flesh or the lust of their heart. And of course, it's popular and trendy, but it's contrary to doctrine. And I'm not going to go into all of those, but Zach will deal with him at Sunday school probably 10 times this year, and that's all right that he does that. Amen and amen. And they need dealt with. I was at the church not too long ago, and I talked about one of my little pet peeve songs. And, you know, he says specifically, rejoice not because the devil's a subject unto you. So what are they saying? I'm not going to hell. He said, rejoice not because the devil's a subject unto you. It'd be one thing if they said, my name is written there, and they rejoice over that. But why? Because they're contrary to the word of God. And yet, you know, all the carnal lost people run the aisles and shout and weep and sob, and all the little girls run down to the altar and their mascara weeps everywhere and their snot slings. Why? Because they're singing contrary to the word of God. You go to church, well, we're here now, and they sing, they're under the blood. And, you know, I know some of you could vouch for that. They'll go crazy throwing stuff. And one guy told me, he goes, brother, I know it's contrary to doctrine. Man, I love that song. And I was like, well, you know, there's songs I love too, but I don't sing them anymore. Willie Waylon and Me and Country Boy Can't Survive, but I just don't sing those. Amen. Because they're contrary to sound doctrine. And so you say, how do you love them? Well, my flesh. Amen. We were joking since some of you are going to Africa, and every time we're in the vehicle with Brother Zach, I'm going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. See, all you carnal people got that, didn't you? Amen? Immediately, boom. You know why? Because every store you're in, you hear that. It's the catchiest tune in the history of music, you know? You can put some good godly lyrics to it. We can sing it now, you know? But anyway, so these songs that were written were designed to be sung, but there's a little bit more to it than just that. Let me just move on. We'll be here forever. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to back up a little bit. And there's far more background we're going to look at in this as we go through this. In verse 5, we'll start reading right after we read verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord. Now notice this, to minister, where's that? Before the ark of the Lord. That's where God has called them to minister. And he said to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. How did we leave the service last night? With thanksgiving.
Amen. Right.
To thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. What was their ministry? Well, they had children's ministry. And, you know, we taught the 3-year-old class, the 9-year-old class. And, you know, I was an usher and I got promoted to senior usher. And then, you know, I was the assistant nursery attendant, but I kind of outgrew that. And now I'm on the financial committee. No. They ministered before the Lord. That was their role. And they stood before the ark of God, and their ministry was simply what he said it was, to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Where are those ministers today? The day and night stand before the Lord.
Right.
And thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. In verse 5, Asaph, the chief, and next to him, Zechariah, Jael, and Shemiramoth, and Jehiel, and Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Isn't that interesting? What was his praise? I mean, I don't know if it was two, he said cymbals. I'm assuming it was two of them clanging together. Again, he wasn't sitting there going like this. He's making a sound with cymbals. Where? Before the Lord. Brother Vernon, before I get too far, I'm not proposing that you go buy a bunch of cymbals for the children of the church, but it wouldn't be a bad thing as long as they took them home. I mean, I just want to throw that out there. And so we might do that. They went off and buy all the children's cymbals to take home with them after the base leave. Amen. My wife and I were at BB's the other day, and they had the Melissa and Doug, what was it called? The musical band in a box, $10, Melissa and Doug. Mm. And, of course, our children immediately see the bright colored packaging, like, Daddy, Daddy. I just told my wife, I said, I'd rather pull my molars out without painkillers. Amen. To give my children a band in a box, cymbals and shakers and the thing you scratch up and down. I said, not in this life. Amen. Asaph the chief, and next thing, I went through all that. And Asaph made a sound with cymbals, Benaiah also, and Jehaziel the priest with trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Again, what's this glamorous ministry he's called them to? Worship leader? I mean, Asaph was the chief. I mean, did he wear the skinny jeans and wave his hands in the air? Is that his role? No, it was not. He was a holy man of God.
Right.
And no man in skinny jeans has ever been holy. No woman in skinny jeans has ever been holy. Amen and amen. They get up there and they lead worship today. No, Asaph stood before the Lord playing his cymbals, and then men came in and blew trumpets continually. Why? Because they were giving praise and they were offering thanks to the Lord God of Israel. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. We start at verse 17. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and of the sons of Merari, their brethren Ethan, the sons of Cushiah. And he goes on down the list. And then verse 19 says, so the singers. So guess what he was doing while he was playing his cymbals? Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. Just a little bit more detail. But what is he doing? He's singing. He's singing praises to the Most High God. And he's playing his cymbals. Why is he singing praises? Because he is a seer. He's a prophet of God. He's giving the word of God in song. And he goes on in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And I know this is just the order I put this in. I have no rhyme or reason, but it only makes sense to me probably. In verse 33, and these are they that waited with their children, 1 Chronicles 6, 33. Of the sons of the Kohathites, Heman a singer, the son of Joel, the son of Shemuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jerome, the son of Eliel, the son of Toa, the son of Zoph, the son of Elkanah, the son of Mahath, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Taath, the son of Asher, the son of Ebiasaph, the son of Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and his brother Asaph, who stood on his right hand, even Asaph, the son of Berechiah, the son of Shimei. So God gives us his lineage. God tells us how he has been appointed by his lineage to that position before the ark of God to testify of the goodness of God and to give thanks unto God. He tells us what his position is. I'm going to go ahead and do this. Go to 2 Chronicles 5. I'm going to go ahead and do these two. I'm going to intentionally skip some of the verses, try to make one point tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 12. Also the Levites, which were the singers. Now notice that, the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren. Now notice the holiness, being arrayed in white linen, the command of God, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, they're in a specific place, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Amen. Now, does loud worship bother you?
Yeah, buddy.
It's amazing how loud worship only bothers people when you're singing hymns. Amen.
That's right.
I remember the first time I was exposed to the other, probably about 99, maybe 2000, and my dad insisted we go to the greatest church on earth with him when he was back in town. We go to the Church of the Nazarene in Gaithersburg, and they just started a band. And some short-haired girl gets up there and walks up and immediately eats the microphone and starts squalling and bellering and grunting. And, you know, and some guy's slapping the guitar and another guy's slapping the bass. And I mean, just blaring. Like the old people are all holding their ears, can't wait to leave service. And, you know, and yet they go to worship. They have concerts and they go worship that. And, man, the louder the better today. But then you go to the house of God and the people are shouting and rejoicing. It's all too loud for them. Right. Although they listen to Hank really loud and probably Tupac really loud and everything. But they don't want that in church.
Right.
Because church is sacred. Amen. Amen. Anyway, I'll leave that alone for now. Probably said enough about that. But these 120 priests are sounding with trumpets. What are they doing? They're standing at the east end of the altar of God. Why? They're sounding with trumpets. Why? They're worshiping God. They're singing praise unto God. And notice what he says in verse 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, not drawing attention to self, but praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. So that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now notice this, at the singing of praise.
Right.
At the singing of praises.
Yes, sir.
What are they doing? They're ministering to the Most High God.
That's right.
What pleased him? Thanksgiving and praise. Pleased. The trumpets and the voices became one. That's the volume for which it reached.
Good.
It blended perfectly. What are they singing? Psalms. David's Psalms. Asaph's Psalms. The words of God. And it pleased the Lord when we sang them back to him.
Amen.
Then the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. You know what I don't see in any of this? I don't see any me.
That's good. Right.
120 trumpeters, a host of singers, psalteries, harps, one giant crescendo of noise. And they began to say, the law of the Lord is perfect. Converting the soul.
Amen.
They sang songs like, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And by the way, just in case you were wondering, Handel wrote that also.
Yeah.
You better believe it. Amen. You'll hear that song at the opera. Amen. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Place it empty out.
Yeah.
Most churches are empty out.
Right.
Well, we know what he means there. It's Sheol, the grave. Amen. That's Hades in the New Testament. They're singing these psalms, and it's pleasing to the Lord, and the glory of God fell in the house of God when praise and thanksgiving were offered to him before the ark of God, in this case, on the east side of the temple. I can't help but think they're looking to the east as they sang.
Amen.
Forgive me. I think they were looking to that eastern sky even as they sang. And they sang songs like this. Swing wide the gates. Okay? Lift up thy gates. The Lord is my shepherd. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. So our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they lift up those psalms of praise and the glory of God fell in the house of God so that the priests could not even enter because of the glory of God. As they sang the words of God.
Good.
2 Chronicles chapter 20. And verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Notice this. This is his heritage. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. One of the sons of Asaph. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation. He's seen the worship. He's participated in the worship. He's praised the Most High God. He sang thanksgiving to the Most High God. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He spake to Jehoshaphat. He spake the word that God had given him. Psalm 7, there's Psalm 50 first. Go to Psalm 50. I'll go through these quickly. Notice Psalm 50. What does it say right under that? A psalm of who?
Asaph.
Of Asaph. Just look at some of these words. I'm going to go through this quickly, but look at some of this. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun and the going down thereof. What a beautiful song. What a wonderful song.
Right.
That's right.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come. Now, do you suppose that's prophetic? Do you suppose this seer is speaking prophecy? Do you suppose as he, I'm going to use this for lack of a better term, he skillfully clangs on his cymbals. And he's speaking these words. He says, our God shall come. It shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him. It shall be very tempestuous round about him. We shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Look at the call of the assembly. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness. For God has judged himself. Selah. Psalm chapter 73. Again, a psalm of Asaph. You see, Asaph writes this beautiful psalm. Well-known psalm. You see, the eyes of the believer that's almost gone. His steps have almost taken that slippery slope of prosperity. You say, why would Asaph prophesy such a thing? Because he's a priest. He doesn't have this world's goods. What does he do? He stands before the ark of God day and night and plays his cymbal and sings before the Lord continually. But he saw the prosperity of the wicked. His feet almost slipped.
Right.
He speaks the words of God to us. Sure. He prophesies this great prophecy. And it ends in verse 28. I have put my trust in the Lord, God, that I may declare all thy works. Psalm 74. Maskil of Asaph. Now I'm not the smartest, most educated person, but I do sometimes recognize a prayer in the Psalms. And this is a prayer of Asaph. He's singing to the Lord, and he's singing it through prayer. He's communing with God. He's directing his prayer to God. Yet he's speaking through the Holy Ghost. Psalm 75, the chief musician, Altasketh, a psalm, and I notice this, or song of Asaph. It can be sung. It can be read. It can be quoted. Chapter 76, the chief musician on Neganoth, a psalm or song of Asaph. Psalm 77, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Now notice this. Asaph's before the Lord day and night. But look at verse 2 says, in the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Now I don't need people on board with me. It doesn't bother me. You can look at me, shake your head and say, you know, I don't agree with that. You say, I don't see that. Those of you that listen to the podcast, you'll understand there's some key words that we use on that podcast. And one of those, when you see the psalmist cry, it's the cry of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? He said he cried. Cried unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. Again, Messianic Psalms, what do you see? You see him asking the Father to incline his ear, to turn not his ear away, that he would give him his ear, that the Lord God in heaven would hear him as he cries. Why? Because God has separated himself from his Son. The Son is being made an offering for sin. In verse 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. What's taking place there? It's when he watered his couch with tears. He's weeping. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And cease not, my soul refused to be comforted. Why has his soul refused to be comforted? He's been made an offering for sin. He's going to pour out his soul unto death, and there's no comfort in that. Asaph's in the role of a prophet. Asaph is speaking by the Holy Ghost of that one which is to come.
Amen, brother.
He's seeing Jesus Christ. He's a seer. He knows this isn't my calamity. He's speaking as he plays that cymbal and sings before the ark of God. He is prophesying before the holy place. He's prophesying of one which is to come. And all Israel could sing that psalm. And when they see him, they look upon him whom they pierce. It's through this psalm that they could know that he's the Son of God. Verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And by the way, we use that complaint or complain through psalms, especially his first 58 psalms. You'll see Jesus Christ. The complaint of his bitterness. His complaint to the Lord. And again, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Then what does he tell us to do? Stop and think about this. Selah. You say, I'm not on board with that. That's all right. I'll still sleep tonight.
That's right.
Psalm 78, Maskil of Asaph. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Keep your place there in the Psalms. Let's go to Matthew. We talked about this the other day. Some of you have seen this. Some of you saw this long before I ever preached it. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by what? The prophet. Help me out, church. By the prophet. What did the prophet say? I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. What did Asaph say? I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Why have their fathers told them that? Because things have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. God unlocked mysteries in the Psalms. God unlocked mysteries through the Psalms. God opened up the ears of understanding of many through the Psalms. Let's go back to the Psalms again. Psalm 80. To the chief musician upon Shonan Nenemedeth. I nailed it on the podcast today. I blew it there. A psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved.
Amen.
O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, notice this, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. That's why when Jesus Christ came, he said, blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why? Because for 400 plus years, they've been eating the bread of tears and drinking the the tears of sorrow. When Jesus Christ comes, first thing he tells them, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Now, again, just a little word. But it's God's word.
Man.
And he said, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Asaph the prophet. John chapter 15. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Let me ask you a question. Where did Jesus Christ come from? Did he not bring his son out of Egypt? He told us he did. John 15 and verse 1, Jesus Christ says simply this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. He called his son out of Egypt, and he planted a vine in Israel, and it took a deep root. And then you know what he did? He grafted us in, that we also might be partakers of that vine. Mm-hmm. And in verse 5, he said on this wise, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Keep your place there in John. Let's go back to Psalm 81. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Verse 10 is one of those little things that I've kind of been on, I guess, in the last 8 months, 6, 8 months, something like that. But it's that matter of the I am with I will. The I am, the word of God, has a will. And so many times in Scripture, he tells us I am. And he tells us I will. Why? It's his will to do such. And this is one of those examples in verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. John chapter 6. Again, Jesus Christ speaking. That great prophet Asaph has told him, open thy mouth and I will fill it. Jesus Christ introduces a new thought. In verse 32 of John 6, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Open thy mouth, and I will fill it. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Verse 35, I am. Verse 37, I will. Verse 38, for I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me. Of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. In verse 44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers that eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eateth the bread, he shall live forever.
Amen.
And the bread that I will give is my flesh. There's the offering of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God, which I will give, that's his will to do it, for the life of the world. Now, verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Let me go back to old Asaph for a minute. Verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth, and I will fill it. How does he fill it? With the bread of life. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Asaph, cymbal player, singer, seer, prophet of God. Day and night, continually before the Lord, prophesying, praising, thanksgiving, the blowing of trumpets, the playing of the psaltery, the strumming of the harps, the voices raised in praise. And he said this in verse 16, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Psalm 83, a song or psalm of Asaph. The last, as far as I know, the last recorded words of Asaph in the Word of God. Verse 18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Why do we give these psalms? That men may know that thou alone, whose name is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Do you see him in the Psalms? Do you desire to see him in the Psalms? As we sing praise to him, are you singing to him? Are you singing out of obligation? Are you singing with thanksgiving? Are you singing with worship? It's the life of Asaph, the sweet psalmist, the sweet prophet of God. Pastor Bernie.
We're going to sing 167.